Day two of the Melbourne International, or should I say the Australian Open at Melbourne, created a bit of tension, you could say. Our man who is down there covering for Channel 9 is Roger Rashid. And Roger, I've got one thing for you. Pauline Hanson, please explain.
What part do you want to explain? There's always tension at the Australian Open. It's a big Grand Slam. There's a lot going on. There's obviously some stories, headlines, and when you've got the world media here, the big spotlight is right on every part of the tournament.
Well, the world media didn't create the spotlight though that Bernard Tomic has thrown on Leighton Hewitt. Where do we stand on that regard? And then we also have seen some other players who have, I suppose, not given full support of their Davis Cup captain.
Yeah, I mean, look, I think I said yesterday quite clearly that Leighton's the Davis Cup captain, and it's under his leadership and the way he wants to drive that team and the culture around the team is his prerogative. That's where it starts and stops.
Yep.
And so that's a coach's ability to lead, and so you sit under that, and I'm not heavily informed on the absolute ins and out daily operations of what that looks like. So if players are not comfortable with certain things that go on, that's for them and Leighton to work out and try and position so they can all be involved and get on the same page and offer their best for Australia, because at the end of the day, we want all the players that are playing for Australia, whether it's in the Davis Cup or the Fed Cup, to be representing Australia, Tennis Australia, and themselves proudly and as much as possible, and then putting it on the line for our country. So hopefully the two, all the forces there can get together after this, and if there is any angst, and actually try and work through a way that they can actually position themselves where we've got the best product, putting ourselves forward against the rest of the world.
There seems like there's some validity in what Tomic talked about, but Roger, what's the feeling down there? I just think it's absolutely appalling that Bernard Tomic, who's done nothing but bitch and moan for the last couple of years, P-hearted, whatever you want to call him, has hijacked the narrative of the tournament in the first couple of days because he lost in the first round and wanted something to whinge about. Like, I just think, surely there must be other people, there must be, the feeling down there at Melbourne Park must be, really, mate, you've really had to do this, at this time, in this tournament?
Yeah, look, I think that's a little bit of the feeling of, does it really need to be aired,
Or now. It needs
to be, and obviously, at the moment, Bernard's ranking's not high enough to put himself in that place to be able to be looked at anyway. So whether he thinks then, because he sort of stepped out of the spotlight and hasn't been one of the main players, that all of a sudden there was no attention given to him. But, we've got to remember that, he's been well endorsed by Tennis Australia for a lot of years. I wouldn't like to look at the figure that money that's been put in front of Bernard for his career to become a professional tennis player. So I would say, there'd have to be $1 million that's spent on. I'm not sure of the figure, but if you think when you're a 11, 12 year old kid and you're the best in the world, and he was then getting well supported by Tennis Australia with coaching and finances, et cetera, right throughout the course of his career, that's a lot of investment financially, and that's fine. That's the way it was rolled out, and there have been other players that have been there. So, there's been a heavy level of commitment. So there's also not a payback effect, but there's also respect about that. And I think obviously as you get older, things change, and you've got you can have your own open, strong opinion. But right now, I think the best thing, as I said, is for Bernard to look after his backyard, get himself really structured up, get his ranking up there, put himself where he's actually got the ability to be picked by Leighton, and then see where that looks. If he looks like he's setting the right standards on, I'm sure Leighton will then obviously be considering for one player in the mix.
Yeah, it's about letting your actions speak louder than your words sometimes, isn't it, Roger? Let's go on court, and we were all hoping Nick Kyrgios was going to be able to do something last night against Milos Raonic, but the big Canadian, the serve was just too strong for him, and it looks like he got frustrated out on the court.
Yeah, hey, look, hats off to Milos, because he turned up, and from the very first game, He was very precise. It was sort of the best ball striking I'd seen out of his racket. So the ball was coming fast and clean out of his racket on both sides. He's quite manufactured as a tennis player, very structured up in his process on the court and also his patterns on the court. But last night, not only did he serve big and accurate, and we know he's going to serve some aces, but his accuracy and high level of first serve percentage was extraordinary right throughout the course of the match. There was only a tiny dip there right at the back end of the last set. His ability to retrieve the ball, he retrieved it like I haven't seen for a long time. Even in Brisbane, he didn't have that skill set available to him. And you know, his unpredictability was a lot better in that match. And he generally hits the ball a lot into players' backhands, but he went to the forehand of Nick a lot and tried and spread him there. And Nick couldn't get and Nick's struggled a little bit with that because he was so pure and he couldn't actually find that other level. And it was unfortunate for Nick. He rocked back at 5-4 in his first serve to open that 5-4 game against in the first set. Rocked back on his back leg, and then something must have pinched in his knee because from then on he grimaced. And you know, when you lose the ability to naturally rock back on your leg and then power off on your serve, even though he's got a big serve, it then all of a sudden puts a question mark in the next movement. You know, when you hit the ground, you've got to power off again and use that quad of yours. And obviously he was frustrated by that. And, you know, to his credit, he had an opportunity in the second set, didn't get it. And, you know, it was probably a frustrating night for him. And it was a match that could have been turned around, you know, just with a few points here and there. And that's how sort of tight those matches are.
What about our girls, Daria Gavrilova, no good. Also Sam Stosur, no good as well. They make early exits.
Yeah, Dash has had a really tough Australian summer. There's no doubt about that. She just hasn't won matches. And, you know, so she came into, you know, it's interesting. Everyone does a great preseason, you know, as good a preseason as possible when you get, and you're enthusiastic. And for Dash, I don't think she's won a match here in Australia this year, or maybe have won one. And so her tennis has really been struggling. Sam, also, you know, she had the opportunity there and she was 5-2 up in the first set. And her opponent was really struggling. She was sort of like she was in the headlights there. She couldn't actually find her rhythm. But when she did, she's an up-and-coming player. He's going to be very, very forceful in the 2019 season. So for Sam Dasher, really unfortunate. We had obviously Thanasi Kokkinakis, who was again unfortunate in the sense that he walked on the court. He obviously had a slight injury through his pec. That he attained before the qualifying matches, and he sort of looked after it, tried to get there, but with the anxiety of a build up of a major event and also a first round, Thanasi got, you know, that obviously expanded, and he was rolling a serve in at 120, 130 kilometres an hour, and did a great job to defend it in winning the first set. But I think it got to the point where there was just too much pain.
And he did all the hard work in the qualifiers.
Exactly. And he qualified, and you know, I don't mind the fact that he had to go through qualifying, you know, because you've got to grind it out. You feel real good success if you go through qualifying. He won three matches. He would have felt good about himself, but this pec issue was a problem. So his body is the one that's actually letting him down these at the moment over the last two or three years. It's really unfortunate. I feel for him because he's a great kid with a big explosive game, and he should be a guy that sort of gets himself in the top 30 players in the world. We have a young 19-year-old Alex Popper, and he got through over Misha Zverev, hit about 60-plus winners. Really good. He's a tall young kid who's going to continually develop. He's only starting his journey, and he's got a good head on his shoulders and really approachable. So I like what we're seeing from him. And Alex Bolt was a good one. Not a young South Australian now, so in his 20s, but at one point gave up tennis, came back and defeated Jack Sock, who's really had a nightmare last 15 months. He hasn't, you know, he was a top 10 player 15 months ago and barely won matches, back-to-back matches. Only once did he win back-to-back matches last year and first round exit at Australian Open. So, it's a tough gig, isn't it? You know, you're going to be having a really good 12 months and things can change pretty quickly, and that's why you've got to keep on top of yourself and keep things really in line and keep things real. For me, it's really keeping things really simplistic. So, big day today as well. We've got a lot of entertaining matches. Ash Barty taking on Wang, I feel Ash wins that match if we look at the women's. And we've got a few others. Zoe Hives, who's playing in her first Grand Slam. I think it's going to be very hard ask for her against Garcia, the French woman who was last year in the top 10 players in the world, really natural. And Astra Sharma, this is a little interesting one too. She's a Western Australian, played through qualifying, won her first round, fantastic beat. She's beat Priscilla Hahn, another Australian girl, so big opportunity for both. She now plays Maria Sakkara, who beat Ostapenko, a Greek girl who can be up and down. Very talented player, can be up and down. So have a look for her today.
Very good. Dimonor and John Millman also up today. Got to go, Rog. Good luck down there today. Let's hope there's no more controversy.
See you, boys.